Your own choices and free will. Others of you don't like to make choices. I know my wife, she pretty much, we brothers, we've been there where it's like, hey, where do you want to eat? It doesn't really matter. And then you pick a place. No, I don't want chicken. No, I don't want that. No, I don't want to go here. So I saw a bunch of hands said you like choices, but do you really want to make a decision? You know, not all the time, see? And as we've been talking about sacrifice the past several weeks, what I want us to look at today is around this idea of choices. One of the things that we have in this country, I don't care whether you're rich, poor, where you're from, where you grew up, how old you are, race, doesn't matter. You have choices. That is one of the things. Yeah, well, you don't have a choice whether or not to pay taxes. We can ask Wesley Snipes about that. You do have to pay taxes, but there's a lot of choices out there. And the title of the sermon today is Eat More Chicken. Now, many of you are familiar with these guys. Chick-fil-A made these cows popular. I always find it entertaining when I'm driving down the expressway, you see the billboards, and they actually have little cows up there putting up stuff. Eat more chicken. Now, where this came from was Chick-fil-A didn't want to be like the rest of the chicken places, like Kentucky Fried Chicken and Popeyes and churches and different ones. They wanted to be a chicken place, but they didn't want to be like your typical just pull the pieces off the bird, get your leg, your thigh, whatever. They wanted to be their kind of own niche, you know. And so they came up with this scheme talking about, you know, you have a choice. You don't just have to go to the burger places. So they came up with this marketing scheme, and it's worked for them for a very, very long time. But the idea was that you have a choice. And it's interesting because you think of fast food, you think of restaurants. I was thinking of Miss Pauline and Jimmy with this one because down in Texas, they have this thing called Whataburger. Yeah, Whataburger. Yeah, you got to say Whataburger. Yeah, I learned that. In our short time there. But we have tons of choices. When we leave here, most of us are going to go find something to eat. You know, some of us, we're not on that kind of budget, so we're going to go home to our refrigerator. But even in your refrigerator, you have some choices. Even if it's only cheese sandwich or peanut butter and jelly, but you do have some choices, right? When we think about choices, I want us to consider how this works when it comes to sacrifice, because it can often trip us up if we're not careful when it comes to our ability to make choices and choosing. When this scripture that Carlos just read, and I thank you for that, Carlos, Romans chapter 12, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by repenting. That's what renewing of your mind is. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It says there, and I'm paraphrasing, when you're in this state of renewing your mind, when you're constantly looking to repent, then you can see what God's will is for you. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. But something very interesting in here, it says that in addition to our bodies being offered up as living sacrifices, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Which leads to the natural question of, well, what is the pattern of this world? What is the pattern of this world that we live in right now? What is it that we're supposed to be resisting and not conforming to? And we don't live in all, it's funny, last night the kids were in the car. And Kendall says, how many people are there in the world? 100? And William said, no, it's a lot more than 100. A whole lot more. And he said, how many? And I said, somewhere around 7 billion. And he says, wow, that's a lot of people we haven't met. And I'm thinking, yeah, and a lot of people you're never going to meet. That's a lot of people. But the thing is, we don't live everywhere else in the world. You know, we don't live in China. We don't live in India. We don't live in Indonesia. We don't live in Greece or Russia. We don't live in, we certainly don't live in Russia. But when you think about it, well, our world, where we live, what is the pattern of this world that we live in? And so that's what I want to explore today. Now, how many of you ever heard of secret church shopper? Okay, secret church shopper, briefly. Secret church shopper is this organization that goes around to different churches. And you'll see up there just several of them that they kind of promote on their site. But these are different church denominations. Basically, if you're moving to Dover, you can go on their site, you can pick up their menu, you can call them, and they will say, okay, I'm looking for a church. And so a visitor will come in, take a survey, say, this is how the worship service goes, this is how the preacher is, this is how the singing was. And so people can choose which church they want to be a part of based on the information that they get back. These people go out and survey churches so that you can go to the place that fits you best. Go to the place that suits what it is that you prefer, what it is you like, what it is that you're used to, what it is that you're comfortable with. So these people go out and they go to these different churches and these different places, and then they post what the reviews are, and they're anonymous, so it's not like you can get mad and say, well, I don't particularly like what LaVeda had to say about it. So you don't know that it was LaVeda because LaVeda didn't do the survey. Or you don't know if it was Daniel. You don't know who it was that did it. And they do this because they say it helps strengthen the ministry. They give these to the lead pastors and evangelists and ministers of their churches. And then they pass this information out and say, okay, well, based on what the secret church shopper overview and report said, this is where we need to improve. This is what we need to do. We live in a society where we have choice upon choice upon choice upon choice. And I bring them up because it's easy to look at them and say, well, yeah, that's messed up. You shouldn't choose a church that way. You shouldn't go about seeking a church that way. But I want to ask ourselves, and I want us to think through as we go through the rest of this, do we do the same thing? Maybe not as we're seeking a church, because as Ben said earlier, you know, most of this is family in here today. But how do we go about sacrificing? And I want to tie that back together. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, we're going to look at the original sacrifice. This is the first recorded example of sacrifice that we will see in the Bible in Genesis chapter 4. It involves two brothers. Starting in verse 1, Adam made love with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crop for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Now, when we think about what this passage is talking about, and I'll ask this question, what is a sacred cow? Does anybody know what that is? Probably heard the term. You think about sacred cow, basically this comes from, it's a Hindu reference, and basically in Hindu society, they believe that this cow is something that's an untouchable. They believe that you can't sacrifice a cow. Hence, eat more chicken than the cows. That's why it's clever. You get that now? Yeah, okay. So the sacred cow, when we use that term, we talk about things that are untouchable. We talk about things that are things that cannot be touched, things that cannot be sacrificed, things that we're not willing to put a hand on. You protect that. That thing that is sacred to us. And when we look at this example of Cain and Abel, what we find is several things. One, Cain sacrifice wasn't accepted, but you might look and say, well, why wasn't accepted? I don't get it. I mean, he worked the field, so he brought his crops. He brought something that he had to bring. And it was only natural for Abel to bring the fat portions of the best of his flock because he worked with animals. But there were two things wrong. There are two things that stood out about Cain's sacrifice. One, they were bringing a sacrifice for sin. They were bringing something to offer as an atonement for their sin. Therefore, God required it to be a blood sacrifice. It was required that it be something that was a blood sacrifice. But the other part of it was, you'll see that even if Cain brought something that wasn't acceptable to God, even if he brought something that wasn't acceptable, he was given the opportunity to repent. He was given the opportunity where God says, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? He was given the opportunity to come back. It's kind of like in class when you're in school and the teacher says, go back and do it again. See, anytime we bring a sacrifice to God and it's not the right sacrifice because we didn't bring it in obedience, because we didn't do it the way we were supposed to, or we didn't bring what we were supposed to, the other part is we have to do it in faith. We have to understand that sacrifices have to be brought in faith. Can't be half-hearted. Can't be something that you just bring reluctantly or with a bad attitude. And see, oftentimes we think, well, you can't judge my sacrifice. You can't tell me whether or not my sacrifice is right, or who are you to tell me whether or not my sacrifice is acceptable to God? Well, what we see with Cain is his life bore out whether or not his sacrifice was acceptable. His life determined whether or not his sacrifice was acceptable. His attitude after he was confronted about his sacrifice showed where his heart was when it came to sacrifice. Because, again, even though we have a lot of choices in this world, we don't have a choice in the way we bring our sacrifice to God. We don't get to choose what we're going to bring if you're going to be obedient. We don't get to say, well, I'm going to bring this thing, but I'm not going to bring this. I've got this sacred cow. I've got this thing I'm holding on to. We don't get that option if we expect to be accepted by the Lord. See, when your sacrifice isn't working, you bring in the sacrifice, and yet God still is not showing you favor, we got to ask ourselves, is something wrong with God? Or is there something wrong with my sacrifice? Is there something I'm holding back? You know, it's interesting because I saw this picture, well, ironically, while I was looking for the cows. And says, at least they're going to church. But is that all that really matters? See, sometimes we can put forth a half-hearted effort, or we can say, well, at least I'm doing something. At least I'm sacrificing something. At least Cain brought something, right? At least his sacrifice, he did know that it was time to sacrifice, so he brought something. And when we think about choosing to sacrifice, we get to choose to make decisions because we all have free will. But to close out, I want to look at how faith and obedience, when it comes to sacrifice, matters. And I want us to consider why it's so important that we do it God's way. If you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel, and we'll finish here. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Now, this is actually quite a long reading, but I'm going to read through this whole thing. It says, Samuel said to Saul, I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put them to death, men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys. The Lord's instructions were fairly thorough. So Saul summoned the men and mustered them at Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, go away, leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them. For you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. And all his people were totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. They were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was angry and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone on down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest. Enough, Samuel said to Saul. Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night. Tell me, Saul replied. Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites, wage war against them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle for the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and the heat is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Now I'm going to pause there because I believe we get the picture. What we see in this story with Saul is that Saul had gotten to a point where he was so far removed. Remember what we read in Romans where it talks about being able to clearly hear what God is saying to you, be able to clearly discern. Saul had gotten so far away that he was making his own choices. He was making his own decisions on what was good and what needed to be destroyed. What the Lord was saying, and he was taking that and he was filtering it. he had come to his own conclusion on what he was going to sacrifice, what he was going to present before the Lord. And so while we look at all these churches and all these choices, and we look at the surveys and people deciding what they're going to do and where they're going to go, what we have to ask ourselves is, when it comes to sacrificing ourselves, being that living sacrifice, what are we not willing to sacrifice? What are we not willing to give up? See, we can sit here and we can say, hey, I'm sacrificing, I'm sacrificing, I'm sacrificing. Don't judge me. But I know for myself, there have been times when I've asked people to do things. I said, we need this thing. This thing needs to happen. There's a need here. There's a need there. People have no problem saying no. And you might say, well, hey, I have a really good reason, you know. Yesterday we had our men's breakfast. I appreciate it. Something that Steve said when he was talking about how, you know, we have our sacred cow. We have these things. We have these things we hold on to, you know. And this might get a little uncomfortable, but we have people that I remember we talked about rebooting the family groups and the small groups and our ministries here, our little groups. And the fact is, there's some people that said, we're not changing nothing. I'm not changing anything. I'm not doing anything different. Meet over at Luther Towers on Monday. There's some people who will sacrifice. There's other people that say, no, I'm not willing to do that. You have campus ministry. Okay, fine. Most of us, it's been a long time since we've been in college. But have you been willing to sacrifice and give and say, how can I support? How can I help? Or are we just willing to say no? Are we too easily willing to say, you know what, God? I know my family isn't where I want it to be. I know that my relationship with God, I know my marriage isn't what it needs to be, but I'm not willing to do that. And that, you fill in the blank. We know people over the years, plenty of us, we know people to say, you know what? I'm not willing to sacrifice in this way. I'll go somewhere else. I'll go to another church. I'll go talk to somebody else. Because we've determined in our heart what we're willing to sacrifice and do. See, what we see with Saul is that he didn't just wake up overnight. He didn't just wake up one day and decide, you know what? I'm not willing to be sacrificial. I'm not willing to give my life to God in this way. No, it was a progressive thing. It says you were once small in your own eyes. You were once humble. You were willing to listen to your leaders. You were willing to listen when the word of God came to your heart. You were willing to sacrifice and be obedient to the call. But now you've decided, well, I've got a better way. I've been doing it this way for 10, 20, 30 years. I'm not changing. I'm not doing it different. I've determined what I'm going to sacrifice. And we have to ask ourselves, is that sacrifice then out of obedience or out of faith? Because we all want God to look upon us favorably. We saw that with Cain. We all want to be accepted by God. But do we have the humility and the heart that's soft enough to say, you know what? I'm willing to give up whatever I've got to give up. I'm willing to change. You know, families, since we're family here, families can be difficult. Families can be a challenge. It can be hard. And God's family is no different. But what are you willing to sacrifice? We can think about all the lost people and all the people in the world who don't know God. But for a lot of us, it's a lot closer to home. We've got sons and parents, and we've got spouses and neighbors, people we've known for years, and we know. We've been praying for them. We've been trying to help them get close to God. We've been trying to bring them to church. What are you willing to sacrifice so that that person can have a relationship with God? Because, see, it's easy to say and complain. And we were talking about it. It's easy to point out everything that's wrong, but what are you willing to do to make it right? Are you willing to actually repent? You know, there's people who say, hey, I'm not going to do this, but they'll do other things. It's like Steve mentioned this yesterday, like, hey, there's people, and if you work or if you got other things to do, I understand, but there's people that are willing to show up and go to other activities and other events, but you won't show up to Wednesday night Bible study with the rest of the congregation. There are people who they're willing to lay out their lives and serve the poor and serve the needy, but you won't even inquire and ask about your own brother to find out that they even have a need. We're not thorough. We're not complete if we're not willing to sacrifice whatever the Lord asks us. And see, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 minutes ago, the Lord may have asked you for your car, but now he's asking you for your house. Now he's asking you for your marriage. Now he's asking you for your job. Now he's asking you to sacrifice something else. We can't have the heart that says, I'm determined, I'm only willing to give this. I'm only willing to do that. We have ministries in this congregation that have been neglected for a long time. But some of us have decided, you know what? I'm only going to serve in this capacity if I can do it my way. I will only give to this if I can do it my way. And what is that? How does that make us any different than Cain? See, the rejection of God is not necessarily a reflection on you physically. See, he cast Cain out. He said, you're going to be a wanderer. You're going to wander around the desert. But we know. See, I don't know what you're... It's kind of like Cain and Abel. I don't know what your sacrifice is. But if spiritually you're wandering in the desert, if spiritually you're giving sacrifices and they're being rejected, nothing about your spiritual life has changed or grown. That's our theme this year. We're going to grow as a church. If you haven't grown, if we have not grown, if I have not grown, then it's obvious that I need to check myself, because God is not the problem. It's my sacrifice. It's my heart to sacrifice that's the problem. So I want to... As we close out, consider a few points just in review. What we see is that both Cain and Saul had the same problem when it came to sacrifice. Their sacrifices were rejected because they weren't offered in faith, and they weren't offered in obedience. Obedience means you give what's asked, not what you think or what you're willing to give. You give what the Lord asks. When we think about our sacrifice and we say, I've been sacrificing, but it just doesn't seem to be working. My life doesn't seem to be going. God clearly isn't speaking to me. I don't hear what the Lord is saying to me. Then we have to ask ourselves, has God changed or have you changed? Has God done something different? Is he asking me to do something different? Or is it that I have changed my requirements? You know, when you're that new creature, that new living creature, and you've been brought up from the waters of baptism, you're born again, and you're grateful because your sins have been forgiven, there is no qualification. You are willing to give it all. But just like Saul, we see that later on, he forgot. He started calling the shots. Has God changed or have we changed? Are we telling God what we're willing to sacrifice, or are we submitting to his will and obedience? When we think about this question here, this is probably the most important thing you're going to hear come out of my mouth today, because we're not going to, either as individuals or as a congregation, as a church, we're never going to see growth. We're never going to do God's will until we're willing to put it all on the line. Until we're willing to imitate Jesus and that we're willing to go, yes, even to the point of sacrificing our own lives. Until we have that heart, we're not going to be able to change. We're not going to be able to grow. We're not going to be able to have an impact. We think so often in terms of choice, and I can choose to do this and I can choose to do that. But what God wants us to do is choose Him and choose to do whatever He has. Some of you may not know this, but I don't particularly enjoy singing. I certainly don't particularly enjoy singing at church. I mean, honestly, there have been congregations where I was where I was more than happy to just sit there and kind of sing along and hum along. But when it's asked and when it's required, you do it. You do it. I'm just using that as an example of ways in which we can serve. You know, it's like, are we willing to say, hey, what can I do in this ministry? What can I do? Are we humble enough to say, you know what? I know this isn't my committee, and I know this isn't something that I'm going to be in charge of. I'm not going to be able to call the shots, but I'm still going to do it. Mark and I, we've been talking about the family groups. Am I willing to do what's best for God and for His church and for His kingdom? Or have I drawn a line in the sand? Have I determined what I'm willing to give? And finally, how different would your life or this church be? How different will it be when you decide to sacrifice in faith and obedience? What are we holding back? You know, it's easy to say, well, hey, I'm giving money, I'm giving. But we don't even have to make a judgment on that. That's one of the beauty of having a nice little small church. It's like you can just look right over there and see the offering. So we know who's giving what collectively. It's not picking on any person. I don't know who's giving what. But I know that the sacrifice has gone down. I know that the attendance has gone down. I know that people have many reasons why they don't want to do certain things, but I know that there are certain things that just have not changed. Are we willing to sacrifice so these things are going to change? Or is it going to be the same three or four people to show up over to Luther Towers to support your sisters? You know, Corrine, who just recently passed, she lived over there in Luther Towers. That was her ministry. That was part of her ministry. Her and Miss Shanita and Miss Mary Bays. And if you work on Monday, so be it. But what if you don't? I go over there and I preach. I've asked brothers to come over there and preach. Come over there and deliver the sermon. Come over there and deliver the lesson. But are you willing to do it? Because see, it's not about me. It's not about, well, I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to support him. I'm not going to tell him. No. It's about there is a call, there is a mission, there's a duty over there, and it has to get done. Are you willing to do it? Are you willing to sacrifice? Are we going to do it out of faith, knowing that God is going to bless our repentance, bless our efforts, bless us giving it all to Him? And I'll close with this. If you do what is right, will He not be pleased? If you do what is right, will God not honor your sacrifice? Ben talked about this last week, how we're holding on to something. And little do we know that right behind us, we can't hold the bigger thing that God wants to give us because we're not willing to give up the old thing that He wants us to put down. We can't help and facilitate and be a part of God's purpose in helping other people come to Christ and filling this place up and spreading the word around this community and serving others because we're not willing to give up on the old things. We're living in the past. God's saying, I'm asking you for something today. And in some cases, maybe He's asking for your life. Maybe He's asking for you to decide to finally come to Him and surrender. Give up your life. To stop being stubborn, to stop wanting to do it your way and realize my way doesn't work. I've been sacrificing and it's not working. He wants you to give of your life. But are you willing to give of your life? Or are you going to keep holding on to it and wonder why he's not pleased with you? Life isn't going right because you want to do it your way. God has a better way. He has a better way for me. He has a better way for all of us. We have to be willing to sacrifice with the heart that says, I'm going to do it his way. I'm not going to be caught up in my rights and my choices that the world says that we have, that I'm no longer going to conform to the world's thinking, but I'm going to say, this is my home, this is my family, Dover is my community, and I am going to go out and do God's work and do God's mission and fulfill his purpose for as long as I'm here. And I'm willing to give it all. I'm willing to submit and be obedient, and I'm going to do it in faith because I know that my sacrifice will not be unrewarded. God is going to bless my sacrifice. If you're here today and you need to come forward because you're ready to sacrifice your life and give it all to God, we ask you to do so at this time. If you're here, come forward, and you just want prayer because you know that just like Saul or just like Cain, just like anybody else, I have not sacrificed and given the things that I know I need to give up. We ask you to come forward today. But what I don't want anybody to do is walk out of these doors with an unrepentant heart. We need to go to our closets, our prayer rooms, go wherever we are, and we need to ask God to help us so that we can be willing to sacrifice the way that he wants us to. Would you stand with us as we sing the song of invitation?